The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Welcome to all of our listeners this morning. It is Friday, March 14th, 2025. Glad to have you here this morning listening to the program and joining us maybe on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 on cable TV here in Pittsfield. Great to have you with us. We have Matt Rinn this morning. Matt is the Ward 3 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield, and we're going to have a good long discussion about all kinds of stuff going on in the city, talking about Ward 3 issues in particular, but maybe a few other things as well. Got lots of time to have a great discussion here. Thanks for Matt to come in and chat with us here for a little bit. First, let's get to the weather forecast from the National Weather Service and see what we have in store for us today and tonight.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Not as cool with highs in the upper 50s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid-30s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 60s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, I heard the word 60s, and you have my attention in mid-March. Not too bad for that. We'll take the nice sunny day anytime for sure. We like that. And, of course, you know, yesterday we woke up to snow, so you just never know what you're going to get here in March. We'll hopefully get out of this before, you know, having like a 30-inch snowstorm or something like that. Always possible here in the Berkshires. Again, welcome to Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. And joining me now on the other side of the table, Matt Rinn, Ward 3 City Councilor. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Glad to have you here. And, you know, it's always good to be able to have our city councilors on to talk about the issues and have that out for the public to hear. A lot of times the only thing that they see or hear is the city council meeting or a committee meeting or something where it's right. A very formal environment and you're following Demeter's rules and, you know, you only get to have so much time to talk and talk to constituents. So we try to give you a little bit more time here this morning.
I'm an open book. Let me lay it on me.
All right. Well, first of all, you lay it on us. Tell us about yourself, how you got to be a city councilor here, and maybe a little history of your time in Berkshire County and in Pittsfield.
Sure. Born and raised here. I attended Catholic school in Pittsfield mm-hmm. from kindergarten on through high school. Left the area to go to college in Boston. Went to Northeastern University, graduated, mm-hmm. I think, 02. Started my work career I wanted to start in criminal justice and law enforcement. I ended up becoming an investigator, fraud investigator. Hmm. Met my wife, has had my family, my yep. three beautiful kids, and then moved back here in 2016. Or I'm sorry, yeah, 2016. Hmm. And you know, I always loved growing up here, and I knew it was a good community, good small, tight knit yep. community, and.
What attracted you back to the Berkshires and to Pittsfield after being seeing the golden streets of Boston?
Well, it was, you know, our third child was born, and you know, I really wanted, and my wife really wanted to be home with them and raise them, you know, as they got going towards school, and I mm-hmm. just made it work. The agency I worked for was able to transfer out to Western Mass mm. and work out here, and she was able to stay home the first few years of us being out here and, you know, watch them grow up. And, you know, it was a great thing. She wanted to do it. I'm glad we could make that happen for her.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a nice feeling knowing, you know, all right, if I'm stuck at work or, you know, somebody's homesick, that there's always a parent there.
Yeah.
So, and then about 3-4 years, actually my father ran for city council and I think it was 2020 or 2021.
Huh.
And you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I wanted to do it myself, and I've always wanted to. So, and here we are. You know, I want to help back and give back to the community, and be somebody the community can reach out to if they have an issue, or you know, help facilitate the the services around here.
So your story, I think, mirrors a lot of people's stories about making their way to the Berkshires, whether they had lived here or not before. But just for the quality of life, right? It's always a trade-off, I think, as we were talking about off-air, the ability of being here and living here in a great community, you know, kind of a caring community and a little less hectic than some of the larger cities. But at the same time, the economy, you know, finding a job, making a living can always be a little bit of a struggle, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to maintain my, you know, I've been with the same agency for going on 17 years, so I was able to maintain my same salary, so it was doable. But you know, there's something to be said out here. You know, you go to any store, you see somebody you know, or somebody you've helped. You know, now that I've been in the public, see people that I've helped, you know, get an issue with their trash, or you know, a pothole in front of their house, or. Yep. And then the kind of thing, I love it, you know, and I love to try to give back. And
is that what interested you in running for city council first time?
Yeah,
I think this is your first term on the council.
Yeah, so I think maybe it's, you know, altruistic or whatever, but I somebody calls me and they have an issue, I get a good feeling about making sure they're taken care of and the issue's resolved. I'm not sure that the city workers love me so much when I'm sending emails or texting or whatever, but it's appreciated, for those people, those little things mean the world to them, you know?
Do you find that the constituents are calling you after they've exhausted other options, or do you think that they call the city councilor right away if they have a problem?
I think it's a mix. You know, I've seen stuff where they've been fighting for years for certain things. You know, I have a constituent of mine where he's going to have a large drainage project done in his property. He's been fighting for 20 years for it. The money's been earmarked for a couple of years, even before my time. You know, there's obviously a lot of red tape in Massachusetts, and there's also EPA's involved and all this kind of different agencies. So I want to see that through.
Anytime you deal with water, right?
Yep. It doesn't have. It's in a flood area too. So or watershed area, excuse me. So we're gonna make sure that gets done for that individual. We're gonna. Just little things, you know. You get some stuff that people they leave their car in they leave the driveway and I got to call my counselor. There's a few people that you know I've built a nice rapport with that will call me, you know, and all those things. And those are easy fixes and stuff like that. But most of the time, it's a lot of people that, like you said, they've exhausted all resources. They don't know what else to do. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? I mean, we're here to try to help facilitate whatever whatever solution you have,
right? And knowing how the city council is set up with seven ward councilors, the city divided up seven ways, and then four at-large councilors who, I guess, their whole mandate is to be councilors for the entire city, maybe looking at the bigger picture. Of course, all councilors have to look at the big picture,
right?
Because all 11 councilors are voting on every issue, right, that comes before you.
Yeah.
And so so for Ward 3, which is the ward you represent, let's sort of give people who are maybe unfamiliar with the way Pittsfield is laid out a little bit of a bearing, if you will. Give us the boundaries and some of the major features of Ward 3.
Sure. I know that there's a one street in Pittsfield that's half's on Ward. There's actually two or three streets, actually. Right, one part of the street's on Ward 3, one part's on Ward 4.
Right.
But we have I guess it would be the south side of William Street, all the way over to East Street, down to Pittsfield High, Hubbard Ave's, Elm Street, East Street, all the streets off of Elm, south side of Holmes Road. I'm sure somebody will call me correcting me with the direction.
Well, and it does change every 10 years, a little bit. Like one street will move over from one ward to the other or something like that.
You know, all the schools in that area, you know, all the businesses.
What are the major schools that you have?
So we have Egremont, you know, right on the cusp. Obviously, Pittsfield High on the cusp. We have Herberg and Williams Elementary.
So actually, four out of the 12 schools are all in Ward 3.
Well, Williams is in Ward 4, but it's right on the cusp.
Okay.
You know, so is Herberg's in Ward 4 as well. Okay. So all we're right there. You know, we've got East Street, Elm Street, two major thoroughfares. you know, First Street, Second Street, all those streets over on that end of Silver Lake, the Innovation Center over there on East Street. Yep.
William Stanley Business Park.
Yep.
Part of at least chunk of it, right?
Yep. Yeah. Wow, there's a lot. There isn't is it? A lot.
So,
you know,
when
you think about
we
have a lot of neighborhoods off of Newell Street that, you know, we try to help folks over there get, you know, a lot of those folks over there are very upset with Newell Street. So we try to, accommodate them and make sure we try to get some of those issues over there fixed.
Tell us what's going on Newell Street.
Well, there's a lot of potholes. It's been, you know, probably the most used word in my vocabulary the last month or so is pothole.
Tis the season.
Right. Yes, yes. And, you know, I understand the city's doing their best to get them fixed, but sometimes the constituents, people don't want to hear it, you know, and sometimes you got to put the pressure on to get something resolved and, you know, put a Band-Aid on it until we can redo these roads.
Do you think Newell Street in particular is just one of those roads that gets a lot of heavy truck traffic or, you know, sort of a constant traffic where it's just going to degrade frequently, more frequently than other streets?
I mean, it is definitely a highly traveled road.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, obviously, gets warm, gets cold, gets warm. The surface is going to expand. I just wish that it would, you know, we could fix them during there was a way to fix them during the winter. So we could at least, you know, get through without having all these potholes. They fix them and then they break again, you know? So,
well, this year also seemed to be, kind of a difficult one for the way, I mean, and every winter is difficult, right? So let's put it out there.
It is,
but sometimes,
it is New England.
Depending on what happens with the water and with freezing, thawing, freezing, right? That's what kills the roads, especially around here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's obviously, it's a matter of opinion maybe, but when, you know, the utility companies do work in the area and you know, are the roads getting repaired properly? You know, I'm sure they are, but you know, there's a lot of times you need access to the roads, under the roads, whether it be a gas line, electric wires, you know, whatever utility company, sewers, you got to access, you got to crack in there. So, you know, it's just a matter of making sure that all the, you know, they're fixed and you know, they're taken care of.
Yeah. We didn't have as many issues this year, it seemed like, with snow plowing and clearing. I know in past winters there have been more difficult storms. I think we had that one really difficult storm, right, where we had the ice, and then the warm. It got rainy, and then it quick froze, and all that stuff. And we had a lot of rutted roads for about a week. I think that was probably the extent of the really bad one this year.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really comment on it because I wasn't particularly pleased with how that was done. I know that they're doing their best, and I'm not criticizing our people. We were short staffed. You know, we had to focus on the main roads. You know, I think they learned from this, and I think that the next time something similar happens in a similar type of storm, they'll be able to be ready for it.
I have also heard that part of the issue is that they're having difficulty attracting contractors and people to plow the roads. In other words, they're short staffed because they can't actually find people with the trucks to be able to do it. So they're, you know, stretching the people and the equipment that they have. Is there a solution that we can look forward to next year that maybe tries to address some of that?
I haven't heard of any. I have some ideas for another day maybe, but I think, you know, you have to be able to recruit these folks to come in and work and make it worth their you know, they're making a living. You know, you need to make sure it's worth their while.
They can't be losing money by having a snowplow,
you know, and the way this weather is here, this year we didn't have a specific, all right, it's going to snow from midnight till 6 a.m. and, you know, that was it.
Yeah.
It was a very challenging, and I see that, and I'm sure people see it. It was a very challenging winter. I mean, it snowed a lot. Mm-hmm. It didn't always accumulate a lot, but it did snow a lot. So, remember, you still got to try to maintain those roads when you're going to get a quarter inch of snow.
Yeah.
You know, and you still got to be aware of temperature drops and moisture. And so I get that, and I'm sure most people do. But I think, you know, you can always be better.
Mm-hmm.
And the commissioner's admitted that, too. He's like, we have to be better, and you know, we got to believe that he's going to follow through on that. Yeah.
I do think sometimes, though, Pittsfield unfairly gets put under the microscope for saying, okay, well, you should have seen the roads in Dalton, Lanesboro, you know, neighboring town, Lenox. Oh, they did such a better job. Pittsfield's roads were terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I just think about it, and I'm like, well, how many of those roads do they have, first of all, that are main roads that are covered by the state?
Right.
And they don't have quite as many road miles to cover. Obviously, they have smaller staffs also. But I just wonder, you know, is that an unfair comparison with the small towns versus a city like Pittsfield?
You know, I think people are, have the right to compare whatever they want. You know, I do a lot of driving in the whole state, and I've seen, you know, impeccable roads in the middle of winter, and I've seen worse roads in here.
Yeah.
So you don't know what to believe. Weather's different in every area, you know, and people have different staff levels. They have, you know, obviously it's going to be the main, you know, Route 7, Route 8, the ones that are maintained by the state are going to be better. And
yeah.
We just got to deal with it,
yeah.
You know.
And then I guess you also throw into the mix sort of the budgeting issue, which is how much money are you going to throw at it, right? And where's that going to come from? Because as we throw more money at a particular problem and we say, okay, we have impeccable roads now. We have perfect roads, but we can't afford anything else. So you have to make those choices, right? And where do we line up with that?
I don't know. I haven't seen any budgetary paperwork yet, so I'm not I'm not ready to comment on anything until I see what we're looking at.
But those are always choices, right?
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, it's like, well, if you're going to throw more money at the roads and the plowing and things like that.
The money's pretty – with the budget, it's pretty thin, you know, and it's – you really got to see where, you know, you're wasting money or if you really need to do certain things, and I think that's what we need to look at. And, you know, I think everybody gets along doing that in that process, and – you know, you try to, it's a tough conversation with all the department heads, and last thing you want to see is them cut jobs or somebody lose their livelihood. But it is definitely a, I'd say emotional, you know, view of things.
Yeah.
But I'm in the old book of, all right, I'm not wasteful. I try not to be wasteful. So I try to think, you know, where can we save money? Mm-hmm. You know, what can we do to allocate? You know, like people don't mind spending money. As far as taxes go, I'm sure every one of us wouldn't mind if our taxes went up, but we want the resources to mirror what we're paying for.
Yeah.
And well, that's the goal.
And it is difficult to see those tax bills come in, right? It's a tough one to stomach when you see it, and it's a big chunk, like a double-digit increase. Nobody likes it. I'm sure the city councilors don't like to see that, but I know that people, you know, who are paying their bills say, where is that going to come out of?
Right. And me being a taxpayer with a family, you know, I don't like to see that either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
but then the city gets hit with you know a charge that you can't avoid, 14-18% increase on health insurance. Right.
Right.
You're paying city employees. Got to pay them. That's the whole point of city government is that you've got people who can do these things for you in various different departments. You're paying them health insurance, which you should.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, you know what? This year the health insurance can only go up by 3% because we got to keep our budget intact.
And we don't
get that choice.
Yeah, we don't set those rates. The city doesn't set the rates for insurance you know, and that's everybody. My insurance went up as well. I mean, it is a challenge. I mean, you got to start thinking about different creative ways of possibly saving money. I know that a big portion of our money goes to workers' comp and, you know, the different insurances, different pensions and stuff like that. And obviously the last thing you want to do is take those away from people.
Right.
But, you know, maybe we got to start thinking outside the box.
Yeah. And so Matt Wrenn, who's our Ward 3 city councilor here in the city of Pittsfield, he's my guest this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. And, of course, we mentioned the budget process coming up. As you said, no paperwork has come across your desk yet. It's imminent, though, I'm sure. Here we are in March, and that budget process will start in earnest, I'm sure, when the mayor delivers that first budget and the budget sessions are scheduled, and those are usually in May and June, so there's a little bit of time. But obviously the school department is working out theirs as well, and that's a major chunk of the budget. What generally do you look for priorities, things that you know you want to fund or that you want to see funded in a better way, and what are some of the areas where you think we can save some?
I think, you know, schools is the major portion of our budget. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the main services, you know, police, fire, and schools are the main force of the budget. I'm a law and order person, and I'm a public safety person, so I think, you know, I'd see the funding, you know, protect our streets with police and our, you know, our first responders with the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as schools goes, I think we could be, you know, a little more creative. You know, I had a problem with the amount of leased property the schools have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would cut out, you know, it sounds significant, you know, $200,000 or $300,000, but for them, maybe it's not when you're maintaining a department that big. But every little bit, you know, pennies lead to dollars, and if we can save a certain amount of money, we can get more teachers in, or more paras in, or more teachers of deportment in. Mm-hmm. You know, and we just, I think what's been going on in the schools this year, it's been challenging for everybody, and I think we're going to lose a lot of teachers, you know, and it's, you know, we're not recruiting teachers, we're not maintaining teachers, and you know, we're not retaining teachers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think everybody's got to work together here to figure out how do we make these schools better. I'm not sure restructuring was the best idea.
Hmm.
You know, I think I'm glad they're going to wait it out until they get a new superintendent, mm-hmm. and maybe a new superintendent can make a better assessment of the schools and make cuts, or, you know, do whatever they need to do, whether mm-hmm. it's cut schools, consolidate schools, or whatever it may be. I'm no expert in that field. I just know that I think we're paying way too much in leased properties. Mm.
Well, that's a good thought. I mean, you know, certainly that, the city does own good number of buildings, and
right.
keeping those, maintaining those is an expense in itself.
Right.
But the city also, I think, leases 100 North Street, for example, for a lot of their yep. offices. That's another area of concern. Yeah, I'm sure.
And there's the Eagle Academy for the schools. Mm-hmm. That's a leased property.
Yep.
There's another one on North Street. There's obviously the building, the old Aggie Bank that we
right.
we lease.
Yeah.
We got where the school buses are on Mail Road. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I know they're probably under contract and stuff like that,
yeah.
but we need to start thinking down the road, like, okay, let's take, you know, the old Mercer building and let's put buses there, or, mm-hmm. you know, easy for me to say, mm-hmm. I get it, but.
Would a solution be to purchase any of those properties
possibly,
for the city?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's above my pay grade,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
you know, I think just these are ideas I have, and I'm not criticizing the schools for the way they did business. I just think that, you know, we need to start thinking differently.
Yeah.
Times are changing, and we need to start moving forward.
Yeah. Well, you think outside the box, and that's, I think, what is necessary these days, to not necessarily do things the way that we've always done them, but to do them in a careful and considered manner of
right.
some kind, to know that we're preparing ourselves for the next challenge, whatever
yep.
that is. We've already had challenges. let's figure out what the next challenge is and be ready for that. So you brought up PHS. So, you know, how do you feel that the community is reacting now, a few months after the big shockwave that came through? And you know, obviously you can't speak to the inner workings of whatever investigations or anything are going on, but just in general, a sort of 30,000 foot view, how do you feel that the PHS community is dealing with it, and then maybe the greater community and their reaction?
You know, I think the PHS community is pretty resilient. You know, I talk to parents, and I've talked to students, and they all want to move forward, you know, and they want to move in a different direction, and they want to make sure that, you know, that they have the best quality of education and they, you know, the best, you know, it's community in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that what happened is good, obviously.
No.
I mean, I don't think that, you know, that they it was handled properly. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know, I'm Monday morning quarterbacking right now,
yeah.
but a lot of people knew that you heard rumors all over about mm-hmm. things, and, you know, it took this long for something to happen. So I do feel for the staff in that school and the students that want better things, and it didn't work out for them, you know.
And I would imagine it's difficult from a morale standpoint.
100%.
You know, you're going, you're doing your job day to day. Something
mm-hmm.
big like this happens, and I'm sure there are lots of other places around the state and around the country that have dealt with issues as
right.
severe and difficult as this. I'm sure they find their path through. But when you're in the middle of it,
yeah.
it's a very difficult thing to make your way through and know that you're making decisions day to day to day, and all of those are maybe going to impact that greater
right.
you know issue.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm at a loss for words, really, because I don't you kind of feel for the students, and you feel for the parents that are worried about their kids.
Sure.
And you feel for the staff that are out there doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really know, there's no, who do you blame? Do you blame anybody? Do you, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. It's how you, you know, react from that and
right.
how you move on, you go forward, you make changes, you make policy changes.
Right.
You know, it's really, you know, you can, like I said before, you can Monday morning quarterback it,
mm-hmm.
but you weren't nobody, we weren't there. We don't know. So,
and you know, even recently in the last couple of years, there have been not the same issues, but similar difficult issues to deal with in the Lenox Public Schools,
right?
Central Berkshire. I'm sorry, in Southern Berkshire, in that area, yep. Monument Mountain.
Yep.
So you know, they're and news making issues too, right? Things that are very difficult to move past, and yet people find ways to do that.
Yeah,
and I think that's the positive take on it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's nobody wants their schools, you know, in national news. Mm. You know, nobody wants that. Mm-hmm. But if you know, you think about the big picture. There's it happens everywhere, and not that that's an excuse for what happened or what's happening. And you know, I think I've been encouraging everybody I talk to that talks about running for office to run for school committee. No disrespect to any of the members of the school committee, mm-hmm. but I, you know, I think we need some new blood.
Mm.
Not all the members of the we have some members that have been there a long time, you know, and all great, wonderful people. I just think they need to we need some new blood out there, you know, different perspectives.
And any kind of civic involvement and people like yourself to step up and say, I want to help and I want to serve is a very important thing for the process, right? That is the basis of democracy right here at the local level. I say that every single time. In the past years, it's been difficult, I think, to even field a group of six people to run for school committee. I think maybe this year it could be different. You could have many more people running only because there was a big issue that has surfaced.
Right.
I will say it's can be a very thankless job, especially the school committee side where, it's a very heavy load and very specialized in some ways also.
Right. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. We're not doing this for the money.
Yeah.
It's... You know, if you calculate it out, the amount of time you put into it, you're making about 40 cents an hour. You know, it's, you know, I'm responding to emails at 2 a.m. sometimes when, you know, I see them come in or whatever. But, I think it's just a matter of engaging the community, engaging people that, you know, that don't have an ulterior motive to get involved in politics.
Yeah.
You know, it should be to serve your community, you know, make it a better place to raise a family. And that's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, it sometimes, you know, it's different though. You know, sometimes you might not get the right folks in there, and not that the people that are in there aren't the right folks. It's just time's passing, you know, mm-hmm. and things are moving forward, and we need to have a different thought and different views on things.
Yeah. Well, this school committee and whatever the next school committee looks like will have a heavy burden added to what they normally do,
right.
Which is to select an interim superintendent and then to make a full search for a permanent superintendent, right?
Yeah.
And those alone are monumental tasks.
Right.
I know I served on a superintendent search committee one time, and people would be amazed at the amount of extra work that goes into and very careful and detailed work to bring those interviews forward and to select a superintendent.
Yeah, my wife has served on the one in Pittsfield in a different community. It's not just, all right, this person, you get a resume. There's a lot of different factors you need to look at, and I agree. And to bring back up your point about having inside information about the investigative reports, I don't think anybody's – I know myself, maybe I don't have the right connections, but I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah.
So I think the public is generally eager to find out, you know, what's going on. So.
Yeah. And another important thing that just happened this week was that, you know, one of the people that was under investigation and currently working at PHS was returned to work because the investigation found that it was unfounded accusations, and that person came back. So, you know, and I think the chairman of the school committee made a very impassioned speech about that and said, look, you know, if we're just going to fire people based on accusations, then no one's job is safe.
Right.
And I thought that was a very interesting quote, you know.
We need to trust the process and trust that the investigation was done impartially. And I wouldn't have sent this individual back to Pittsfield High if it was me, but I would have sent him to a different school. But they shouldn't lose their job if they didn't do anything, you know, wrong.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I get there's unions you need to deal with, and you need to – that's why certain employees are still on paid leave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would have gotten rid of some or one of the individuals that are on leave, but I'm not in charge. So.
No. And it is a complicated system and process.
There's union issues. There's contract issues. There's all sorts of things. So
it all sounds so simple on social media.
It does.
The answers are right there. Yeah. Why don't we just do them? Matt Rinn is my guest here on Morning Drive 89.7 WTBR FM. He is a Ward 3 city councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. And we are going to take that top of the hour break now as we are reaching the 8 o'clock hour here on the show. And we will be right back after this quick break. This is, again, Morning Drive 89.7 WTBR FM. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Will you be an angel for our WTBR DJs? Every day our DJs are cold, hungry, sad, and lonely, and they are crying out for help. For only 30 cents per day, WTBR can provide them with clean studios, microphones, audio board, and much, much more. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button and become a friend of WTBR. For only $8.97 per month, you can put some smiles on these faces. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The motto of the Lions Club is, "We serve." And for 99 years, the Pittsfield Lions Club has served our neighbors and aided causes both globally and right here in Berkshire County. Join the Pittsfield Lions Club as we grow our membership to explore new opportunities to serve our community while we prepare to celebrate our first century of service in the Berkshires. To learn more, please visit www.pittsfieldlionsclub.org or follow us on Facebook. Thank you.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, water lovers, this is Leslie Gabriel, your water ambassador, host of And So It Flows. Our water music and water culture brings water outside the cup. Moisten your ears every Tuesday at 2 p.m. here at WTBR 89.7 FM. Love your water.
In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Welcome to our friends in South County as well. We have a great show here going on. We have Matt Rinn. He is the Ward 3 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield, and we are having a discussion about Ward 3 and other city issues, all kinds of good stuff coming up here this morning. So stick around. Fascinating conversation. We will be right back to that right after the National Weather Service forecast, which comes your way right now.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Night is cool with highs in the upper 50s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid-30s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 60s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there is your weather forecast today. We're going to maybe hit 60. My goodness. Sunny, at least. I don't know what we'll do with the sun. You get the, you know, the cloudy and rainy and foggy and cold for so long. You see the sun, you're like, what am I supposed to do with that? I can't see anything. Put the visor down. you know, but I'll stop complaining because it's nice. welcome again to the show, Matt Rinn. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk about other concerns in Ward 3. You had mentioned Newell Street being a continued issue, but are there other areas where you get a regular sort of concerns from constituents about either roads or plowing or bridges or anything else? What are some of the big issues that you hear about in the ward?
You know, it's a vast array of issues. I mean, I wouldn't call them issues, though. It's just genuine concerns, like mm-hmm. concerns I may have or you may have. Or, you know, in that last storm, some of the snow piles were too high or they weren't plowed wide enough, which, you know, you think, okay, no big deal. But for some of these people, it is a big deal. Mm-hmm. For me, it would be a big deal if I live on a narrow street,
sure.
you know.
Yep.
East Street's, you know, it's going to get fixed. It's coming through
right.
this year.
Yep.
It don't, it, you know, and I know it's in rough shape, and I find myself cursing in my car when I go over potholes.
And some of these projects take a long, long time. I mean, there's a design stage, and then there's sometimes you have to do land takings, right?
And yep. surveying, the, yeah. and you know, sometimes you have to have the Army Corps of Engineers in there on yeah. things, and it's a challenge. It's massive. This is a lot of, you know, a lot of red tape for a lot of this stuff, and it's just, you know, stay with us, mm-hmm. you know, and my biggest thing is communication with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can only forward information over to the proper, you know, people. You know, and just follow up with them and make sure that right. the constituents stay in touch with me. Mm-hmm. And we put the, you know, not for lack of a better word, put the pressure on them, you
sure.
know, and it's not going away. Mm-hmm. You know, like the tree budget money, like a lot of tree complaints about trees falling.
Mm.
You know, this morning before I came here, I wanted to make sure I got back to a constituent about a tree she's been having an issue with for a couple of years.
And what was the problem with the tree?
Well, it's a city tree that's pretty rotted and,
okay.
you know, limbs keep falling off and,
yeah.
Certain there's only a certain budget for trees, so and it's only a certain time of year that we really do that type of work in the city. So it's like, all right, can you get this house on the list and add it to the 25 other people that are, you know, trying to get it done and hope that there's enough money left over at the end of the year to get it done.
So basically, you're consistently advocating for your constituents,
yes.
right? That's your role.
Yeah. Yep.
When the constituents call you, it's because they've, you know, either didn't know that there was somewhere else to call,
right.
or that they've called many times in other places and just can't seem to get any progress. You as a ward counselor come in and say to the right people, because you know the right people in City Hall, hey, can you get this on the list? Can we get this done,
yeah.
right?
And it's just a matter of following up and making sure, because these folks too, they're inundated with a lot of things. They may be short staffed. They may be, you know, maybe people out on illness or sick or workers' comp or something. So they're short staffed, or they, you know, so we just gotta work together and make sure we see the, you know, the goal is to make sure that, you know, these people, you know, they're paying their taxes. They have every right to get the services that they pay for.
Yeah,
and that's. So it's about, you know, and the transition with the trash this year was a big challenge.
Yeah. How did Ward 3 handle that? How did we do in Ward 3 for the trash?
You know, some people it was great. Some people it was a nightmare, you know, and I could see that, you know.
Where were the problems, you think, mainly with the particular, like, was it more elderly people that had problems with?
It was a mix.
Was it a mix? Yeah.
Yeah. Our backdoor trash pickup program, which seemed to run seamlessly before, now had issues.
And that's for people who can't physically make it out to put
the
trash out.
For those that don't know, it's the program where you can qualify for, you know, you leave your trash on the side of your house, the driver or tech will come out, move it out, empty the trash for you, and bring it back.
Okay.
Which I think is a valuable service that a lot
sure.
of cities don't offer and a lot of trash removing companies don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was, you know, a loss, you know, loss in transition somewhere, so they would constantly miss some of these addresses.
That's from the changeover from the old system
right,
to the new system,
right.
basically.
So,
that's where
those
were lost.
And it's a, you know, trial and error period, and they're getting better. I haven't gotten a complaint about that in Ward 3 yet, since probably maybe in the fall.
Okay.
So that's good.
And to be fair, this is a major change, right?
And
when you're changing the way that you deal with trash and recycling and removal as it's being provided as a city service, right? These aren't folks that are contracting separately with a company to come pick up their trash like that happens pretty much in the rest of Berkshire County.
Right.
In Pittsfield, we provide it as a service to the city, from the city as part of your taxes.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of ownership in that.
Right. And some people love it, you know, and, you know, I lived in a community in the Boston area where we had it and we had no problems, you know, but I can see, you know, I have a big family and I had to get a second barrel.
Did you?
You know, and there was, they delivered a third barrel to me. That,
oh, wow.
But I called Cassell and said, hey, you dropped off a third barrel. I don't need it. You know, I like to follow the rules. And they came that day and moved it. So, okay. Like, different things, you know, sometimes people have different experiences. And you know, it's just, we got to keep working on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Cassell is making changes as well. And we'll see, you know, after it's been a year or a year and a half, and see how much better it is.
But Ward 3 didn't necessarily have the same issues that, say, right. Ward 5 or a Ward 6 had with some mistreats or things like that.
We had some, you know, and a lot of it was, you know, I didn't hear about a lot of missed entire streets.
Yeah.
I heard a lot about they missed my trash, you know, and a lot of times that could be, people didn't really realize, I mean, there was a lot of communication with this transition, and a lot of people didn't realize that, yeah, trash has to be out by 7 a.m. That sometimes your route was changed, and, you know, I found myself, you know, at 6:55 running outside going, oh, crap, I forgot, you know, but...
I can identify with that, not being a morning person. Here I am hosting a morning radio show. I am not a morning person. I don't like getting my trash out at 7 in the morning. I'm usually, you know, luckily in my particular street, they come a little bit later.
Yeah, mine too.
But, you know, if they came at 7 and I missed it, that would be my fault because I would have to, I knew that I had to get it out there by 7.
But alternatively, they, Cassella, if you call them and say, hey, they'll come back and get it, you know, whether it not be the next day or the day after, but they will.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we're on the right path.
And recycling is up, right? Which is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I find myself recycling more, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm finding myself, all right, well, I'm not going to throw this water bottle in the trash. I'm going to bring it out to the barrel or I'm breaking down cardboard now. Yeah. And
it seems like the main shift was that it put a little skin in the game for residents.
Right.
Which, again, is, you know, kind of a model change where before it was like, put anything you want out there, we'll take it. Don't worry about it.
I do miss that.
Right? Oh, I'm sure everybody misses that. But at the same time, if you're going to save the city some money, that would be the way to do it, is to put some of the responsibility on people so that they have a stake in this, right? If you can only fill up so much, you have to recycle more. And that's just, you know, now everybody's pitching in to do that.
Yeah, and I could see there's just, you know, so many different scopes here. You have an elderly person that lives alone. You have a single person that lives alone.
Yep.
They're obviously not going to accumulate as much trash or recycling.
Right.
You know, and that's, I get it. And there's, it's just, it's hard to find a happy median with everybody to make it work.
Yep. You know, well, if everybody was paying a private hauler, though, and you had a large family, you would be paying that private hauler more to get rid of your trash.
And I'd worry more about, with private trash in this particular size of Pittsfield, I would worry about people not getting a contract. Mm-hmm. I feel like you'd have more trash around the city. I know I heard a few people complaining about trash being dropped off at city parks. You know, we do have people picking up trash at the city parks too, so we can, you know, we'll figure it out. It'll be, you know, I know that, but everybody's dealing with the same challenge with getting rid of microwaves or electronics or you know,
mattresses,
beds, box springs. That's always been a challenge. You know, and you know, I mean, in the past, you could break down a box spring and fold it in your trash, and they'd take it. Now, it's a little bit of work, maybe. We got to change, you know? We got to change, you know, and I'm not necessarily big on change, but I've adapted to it. My family's adapted to it. I think it's just going to take time, you know, and obviously we'll deal with whatever issues there may be and as they come up.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
And, Matt Wrenn, Ward 3 City Councilor, is my guest here this morning. If you're just joining us here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, we're talking about Ward 3 issues. Lots of stuff going on. You mentioned trees, and I think I just saw a headline about a tree planting. The city got a grant for planting some trees on Cleveland Street. I think that might be in Ward 3.
Yep.
So what's that about, and how will that improve that area?
So, you know, obviously trees beautify the area, and it helps with, you know, vegetation and the environment. And I'm all for anything, you know, to beautify an area, make it look better, help with drainage. I don't know when that's happening. I don't think did they vote on it Tuesday. I was sick.
I think they may have, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, who's going to say no to the grants?
Right.
I mean,
well, and the you know, again, we look at social media comments, and you take those with a grain of salt, but people will say, why don't you fix the roads first before you put trees in it? And it's hard to explain that, you know, the money isn't there to fix the potholes. The money is there whether you want it or not for trees.
Right.
Do you want it? Do you want the trees or do you not want the trees? It's one or the other.
It's like the grant we got for North Street for the the right building there in the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That money was specifically earmarked for that project.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the way it was and we could take all the money from every grant we got and fix the streets, I'm all for that.
Of course, everybody
but that's not
would,
how,
right?
It's not how the process is. And I like to, you know, people say that to me all the time. I'm like, I hear you. I understand. Mm-hmm. But this is, you know, it's what it's about. When we got this grant from the state to do East Street's going to get done.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's the money's specific to a specific thing, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And you're right. You do get a lot of calls about, you know, why don't we just fix the roads? Why are we doing this? It's like, well, yeah, we want to fix the roads. I want to fix the roads more than anybody. You know, we had probably the Commissioner Morales told me this. Most of a big majority of the road work this past year, got done in Ward 3.
Hmm.
And you know, maybe that was from my colleagues before me, and some of it was from me, but. Yeah. A majority of work got done in Ward 3 this year.
Yeah. And I've spoken to the commissioner on this program. He's been very gracious with his time and coming in and answering questions and giving that information on all kinds of projects throughout the city. And it's really, truly amazing how many different things are going on in the Public Works Department. And so many things that touch residents directly, right? Those things that are right, you know, where the rubber hits the road, literally.
Yeah, my little gripe with Commissioner Morales right now is, and he probably hates me, but I wouldn't say beef, but I disagreed with the speed bump on Holmes Road.
Hmm.
I thought, and maybe it's my fault for not reading the specs as in detail, but I thought it was going to be a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And be that as it may, we agree to disagree on the speed bump, but I just want it finished at this point, you know, and it's.
So what does finishing it look like to you, I think?
At least, you know, some illumination over there to know it's there.
Yep.
More signage. Mm-hmm. Right now there's two, and I know in the wintertime you can't do it, but I'm hoping that gets finished in the spring.
Yeah.
You know, and it's. Cause I still get calls about, I hit that thing going 30. I was under the speed limit. You know, you can sit out there and drive down Holmes Road and you see these, you know, workers drive down the street in their trucks. Maybe they're going fast, but, you know, you see their tools flopping up in the in the front seat because they hit it too fast.
Yeah.
And that's the point of a speed bump. I get that, you know.
But give us a little warning, basically.
Right, give us a
saying.
Warning, you know, put the crosswalk in there. It's supposed to be a crosswalk. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's finished, I'll be happy.
And
you know, whether it's too big or not, you know.
And I think that is one of those new features we were just talking about, new and change and things like that. Speed humps and speed bumps are not frequently added to Pittsfield Street, so this is a fairly new thing.
Right.
I think of the ones over on Partridge Road, Oak Hill area. And once those were put in, and I was driving that one time, and I thought I was driving it at a pretty reasonable rate. And my head hit the ceiling of the truck, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what was that? And then I hit about 10 more of them, it was not a pleasant experience.
Well, that's you know, like the Holmes Road. I travel the Pike frequently, and you know, I usually go across Holmes Road, and you forget it's there now, because there's not enough signage or warning that it's there. You know, and I still hit it going. I don't think 35 is an unreasonable speed there. I'm not sure what the speed limit is, but I still hit it and go, you know.
And I heard some of the discussion about it at, I think it was at the city council level, where they said, well, you know, we had a problem there at that particular crosswalk. We had somebody, a student, a young person hit by a car. So, of course, when you see that, and I'm sure the same issue over on the West Street interchange near the Salvation Army in that area, where we've had, you know, a couple of incidents and a death, very, very bad outcomes. You know, you got to fix things. And so sometimes the response is appropriate, and sometimes it's not, right?
We're not going to agree on everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I would like more speed patrols by the police, but they're down men, you know, employees too. You know, it's tough to get an officer. I'd rather have, you know, I'd love to have a dedicated officer dealing with speed.
Yeah.
You know, if we get a grant to do that, that's great. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times manpower's down and it's difficult to be able to do that. You know, I'd rather have them making our streets safe than, you know, taking somebody off the street that's you know, fighting crime to catch, you know, speeders on Elm Street, you know. And
well, some communities have gone to the speed cameras and traffic light cameras that issue tickets automatically. I don't know if that's ever coming to Pittsfield. Do you have an opinion on that?
I know it's not
here?
Legal yet in Massachusetts. I'm kind of indifferent on that.
Because I know New York has been pretty aggressive with it, right? And it's gotten a lot of complaints in the Albany area.
I think that it may be too invasive for me.
Mm.
You have some expectation of privacy when you're driving around, right? I mean, do you want pictures you know, I could see, yeah, if you're driving recklessly or whatever it is, but I'm not for it. Mm-hmm. As of right now, and the data that I have on it, the stuff I've read and the experience that I have with it,
yeah,
I'm not for it.
Yeah, it does, I'm sure, feel invasive. Like, it's one thing when you're on the Mass Turnpike,
right?
And you know that there are gantries and they're checking your, you know,
speed and
whether you've.
But they're not issuing speeding tickets for that either.
Not that we know.
Not yet.
No. There's always time.
I'd be screwed if it was. But, yeah,
that does kind of
like
cut into individual liberty to an extent, and I suppose there's a balance between that and public safety, right?
Right. Yeah, and I guess if. The financial aspect of it, I don't like either, because it wouldn't be a cheap transition either. So.
Well, and also in Albany, for example, most of the money from those tickets is actually going to the company that runs the equipment.
Right.
So, I mean, how is that benefiting the community?
It. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not. Yeah. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Well, you know, you're one of the people making those decisions when they come across your table, so it's really important.
Man, I fooled those voters, huh?
Matt Rinn, who is your Ward 3 city councilor, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, and thanks for putting yourself into this. But it's a great discussion. We appreciate it. One vote that came up a little while ago was about special municipal employees. Not every vote on the city council needs to be unanimous, but you were the lone vote against it. and so I just wondered, first of all, lay out what that situation was, what it was they were voting on, because I think a lot of people didn't really understand the issue too well either.
Yeah, I don't think that it was outlined, the legalities of it weren't outlined as well as I'd like. Sometimes with that stuff, you may need to put it in layman's terms. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure my friend Dave's going to, you know, call me later and give me a bunch of crap for it again. But, you know, I just didn't like the optics of, you know, basically what a breakdown was if you were going to be on a committee instead of just being a committee member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you still have to sign the same paperwork to go into the process, the ethical stuff.
And these are volunteers from the community. On boards and commissions.
So you're on a board or a commission or a committee. You would just be deemed a special municipal employee.
Hmm. Automatically.
Automatically. Mm-hmm. Now, I interpreted that differently, and I thought, to me, the optics of it was poor because it's going to open up a lot of questions for ethics, you know, in a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
I was mainly looking at, you know, a board member of a bank or a board member of a construction company, you know, having influence on a decision being made for, say, housing or construction or, you know, some big project where there's a lot of grants and loans, you know, and I voiced my opinion. I heard, you know.
So in other words, would they have a conflict of interest being on that committee, making those decisions while in their day job, they're, you know, making decisions that benefit them or their company?
Well, if there was a, you know, in a perfect world, in the individuals would have to recuse themselves from the vote for that specific item. But, you know, and most people are trustworthy and they're going to recuse themselves when they need to. I just didn't like the optics of having that, you know, I don't want to take the ridicule of, you know, having an individual have a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. That was it. Yeah. You know, it was, you know, to me, it wasn't a huge deal. My view was. Even the mayor said when I asked him, he said, nothing's going to change either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still have to sign the same ethics documents and recuse themselves when needed. But it was just.
Didn't feel right, basically.
Right. It didn't feel right. You know, I know it was just an administrative move and it was just, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's kind of thing. But I just, you know, I had a different opinion of it, you know.
Interesting, too, because it brings up the overall idea of how difficult it can be to find people to serve on boards and commissions, right?
Right.
The amount of time it takes, the expertise that is needed to serve. I mean, you don't want anyone who doesn't really know what they're doing.
Right.
You know, you got to have some expertise in that area, and that usually comes from your day job. So, you know, how does a community like Pittsfield find people, good, qualified people, to give up their time, volunteer, and serve for the betterment of the community by being on these boards?
Right. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge to get people to run for office. It's a challenge to get people to volunteer to be on different boards and committees. I mean, it's challenging to get people to volunteer for PTO. You know, it's people are busy, and I get it. You know, it's a difficult thing to get people to volunteer free time, you know, when they've got busy lives. Yeah.
I've heard it's even hard these days finding, you know, coaches for teams.
Referees.
Or,
yep. It's difficult finding people. And you get paid to be a referee. You know, it's just a matter of getting people involved. And you know, I don't know if we should focus more on you know, the making it more attractive for people to volunteer, you know, not saying financially, but, you know, the benefits of it. You know, you're out in the community, you're dealing, you know, with different people, and you know, you're getting to know people in the community. You're, you know, like, I'm very involved with youth sports. I enjoy the aspect of being out in the community, going to games, getting to know parents, getting to know coaches, getting to know the other kids, you know.
What sports are you involved with?
We got two of my kids play hockey. They're very involved in the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
My wife serves on the board for the hockey program.
Great.
You know, I've got two soccer players, three soccer players actually now. Lacrosse, you know, so I got track and field.
Wow.
So we're, you know, cross country skiing. We're very, very involved in sports. And that's a big part of my wife and I's life now is we enjoy watching our kids play sports.
Yep.
Good or bad, they still like watching it.
Sounds like your time is pretty much all spoken for.
Yes,
between the job and and the sports and city council, which does take a lot of time. And people, I think, don't understand really how much extra time goes in. They see the meetings and they say, well, you know, you meet for 2 hours once every 2 weeks. How hard can it be? And they don't really see, you know, what goes on behind the scenes and the number of phone calls and driving out to see someone's tree or someone's pothole, things like that.
And a lot of times, you know, it's, I want you to come see the streets. Like, you know, I can't right this second, but, you know, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. when I leave for work, I'm going to swing by, just take a look at it, and then, you know, I'll touch base with you later.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting calls on Sunday afternoons, and people, they're, sorry to bother you. It's like, no, it's an easy fix. I'll just send an email. It'll be resolved tomorrow.
Yeah.
And a lot of the credit goes to the city employees that that do this type of thing. You know, like the DPW guys. I nothing but good things to say about them. I can text any one of them and say, hey, can you just, you know, fix this issue? And they'll go do it right away, you know. And to that their credit, they don't get enough, you know, attention in that matter. You know, like the pothole issues we're dealing with, you know, hey, I got a really bad one in front of Marlon Mold or Mold Master on Newell Street. Can you get out there? They'll go right out and you know, do their best to patch it up. In front of the East Side Cafe on Newell Street, there was a major pothole. I mean, there was a family of four living in there. It was such a big pothole. And, you know,
they got their garden started. They picked out their seeds.
Yeah. So, you know, they tried to fix it the traditional way. It didn't work. So, you know, the commissioner said, all right, you know, let's put a steel plate down. And I was like, all right, I like it. Just, you know, at least it's, you know, something to deal with now until we can actually do a proper patch job on it.
And also, you know, it goes without saying that the jobs the DPW folks are doing are not desk jobs. This is hard work they're out there doing in all kinds of weather when they're fixing water mains and things like that in
January. Getting called out in the middle of the night to fix a water main.
Yeah. But if you're the one that's affected by that water main, it's flooding
it's
your
huge.
Basement. Oh, yeah.
Yep, it's huge.
It's the number one problem.
Yep.
So, you know, definitely credit to those folks doing that work.
I can't say anything, you know, there's no word strong enough to say how much people appreciate, you know, the in the thick of it, and they're out there.
Yep.
You know, we're grateful.
Right.
I know I am.
Matt Rinn is our Ward 3 city councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. Actually, PCTV studio is in Ward 3,
right.
As a matter of fact. So we're grateful to have you come today. Just a couple minutes left. The big part of William Stanley Business Park is in Ward 3, obviously a big economic engine for decades, over a century in some ways, thinking about the history and the legacy of GE and everything that's gone on there. What's your outlook for what's happening at the Stanley Business Park? Can we see some improvement and some economic growth, you think, soon?
Very optimistic.
Yeah.
I have not seen, other than what the mayor had said earlier in the year about you know, the press conference he had about it. I think it's a great move. We could bring some jobs in here, find some housing for people, offer some different shopping experiences for people. Business opportunities. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know,
huge potential.
Huge potential. Yeah. You know, people, you know, may not like the idea of tax breaks for some of these businesses, but that's how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get these people in here.
You got to jumpstart it sometimes.
Jumpstart it somehow.
Yeah. Otherwise, eventually. We know it's been sitting there for 20 plus years, and nothing has jumpstarted it yet.
Right.
So you got to keep trying.
I'm all full steam ahead for that.
Yeah.
You know, anything that can bring in business and, you know, get people to move to the area.
Yeah.
We need people to move back here and move you know.
Just like you did.
Right.
That's what we
need. You know, and we bring something, build something, make something to get people to move back to Pittsfield and make it the better community, best community that it is.
Matt Rinn, how do constituents get a hold of you in the 10 seconds we got left.
Sure. You can email me at mrin@cityofpittsfield.org. You can call me. I have a 617 area code number. I think the website has a different number, but it's 617-417-3489.
There you go. Matt Rinn, Ward 3 City Councilor. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it very much.
And, thanks for having me.
Everybody have a great weekend. Take care.
Bye. Just give